Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 1st of December, recording at 8:20 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, let's have a quick look at, or quick review, I should say, of the week. This was the week in which that reaction, that somewhat bigger reaction and consolidation than we had seen during the previous 2 months or more, became very clearly apparent, although least so in Asia, mostly evident, or most clearly evident, in the European markets, and Wall Street also showing this type of action. This was also the week in which government bond prices were very firm, yields declining further. Not spectacular, but pushing down a little bit further. And this was the week in which the U.S. dollar, continued its fall, its very rapid fall, I should say. And we also saw the hard money, precious metals, move up strongly. Well, some of them, I don't want to exaggerate. Silver, most of all. Then gold getting a pretty good performance overall. Most of the industrial metals have been quite steady. And significantly, of those that are traded on futures contracts, all but copper are trading with backwardations at present. Crude oil, this is significant. This has continued to push higher, currently 63.54. That's the NYMEX light sweet crude. And grains and beans, mostly steady. A little bit of profit taking in here today. And I think those are the main areas of interest. Okay, so what's going on? Well, I've mentioned this reaction. I have carefully avoided the word correction because I did not want to create the impression that this was going to be anything like as sharp or as severe as we saw in the second half of May and the first half of June. Now, why not? Well, first, markets were way overextended. We hadn't seen a decent correction for over 3 years, at least 3.25 years. And so we were really ripe for a correction. We were moving into a risky period seasonally, and interest rates were still rising. Bond yields were rising steadily. Long-dated government bond yields were rising steadily. Now, that's just not the case today. I've maintained that stock markets were much healthier, technically, following the correction. However, they had moved up persistently and in moves that were actually gathering pace and were becoming unsustainable, thus my cautioning that we would see a somewhat larger reaction and longer consolidation process. And that's what I believe we're in right now. But the obvious point about this, only time will tell how long this persists and how deep the reactions where they're occurring are. But clearly volatility has increased. Now, there are some exceptions. I mean, India, for instance, hit another new high in here and hasn't blinked during this correction. But I think that all investors should remember the Wall Street leash effect. And since new subscribers are coming in all the time, if that's unfamiliar ground for you, I'll just say that it refers to, you know, the it's based on the dog walker, who has one of those retractable leashes. And my hypothesis for decades has been that when Wall Street is steady, let alone rising, that allows the other markets, particularly the most fashionable markets, to run riot on the upside. So in other words, that retractable leash is let out, has a lot of slack in it. On the other hand, when Wall Street is clearly seen to be declining, then that leash is retracts. And that is when we see some of the high beta markets come down and fall faster than Wall Street. And most of the markets are higher beta than Wall Street. So again, I'm not looking for anything serious, but Wall Street is retreating. That does create some risks in here in the very short term. Now, that's not something that I'm going to sell anything in my investment portfolio, or that's not anything that's going to cause me to sell anything in my long-term investment portfolio. I know that reactions and consolidations are part of the game, and they're healthy overall. However, I have lightened some of my speculative trades, as you know. Probably a little bit too early for some, and I actually, due to stops, lightened more than I had intended to. And then I went on and opened, as partly as a consequence of that, but also the very good technical action we were beginning to see at long last from Japan. I went in and opened a long trade there. But my strategy is simple, and let me explain it very briefly here. That I will hold those core investments, those things that I really like. And at the top of the pile, there are the Indian and China investments, the India and China investments. But there isn't anything in my, there isn't any significant position in my investment portfolio that I don't like, and that includes Rio Tinto and BHP Billiton. And so I expect the reactions to occur from time to time. As I say, that's part of what markets do, and it's healthy within the overall trends. My strategy, therefore, is that if the Wall Street leash effect led to a surprisingly large reaction for whatever reason, this is not a forecast, I'm hypothesizing, but if it did lead to a sharper reaction, while I would see some temporary profit erosion in my favorite positions, rather than worrying about that, I would say, let's profit from temporary adversity here, and I would go in and open some more speculative trades. I could go in and use cash and pick up more positions in those funds, but I'm content to hold a reasonable amount of cash, as I usually do, especially when I can go in my trading accounts and use leverage to pick up some of the my favorite positions when they see setbacks, which I regard as buying opportunities. So that's a strategy that I will use. Now, what's best going forward here overall? Well, Asia, that's what I really, really like. Most of all, developing Asia, led by India and China, as I've already mentioned. I like Thailand because it's so cheap and is certainly going to benefit from what's going on elsewhere in Asia. So I'm willing to look beyond the political problems here to hopefully take advantage of this very cheap stock market. Japan is really my favorite developed country stock market for the very long term, and I haven't mentioned that too much recently because Japan, I wasn't interested in Japan because it was underperforming. Now I think Japan is going to attract, is beginning to attract real investment demand once again. It had been left behind, and I just regard the whole dreary performance that we've been seeing for much of this year as part of a lengthy consolidation, and I regard Japan as being in a buying range, and especially if we see a little bit of volatility to the downside. I wouldn't expect a whole lot with Japan. It's already been such a big underperformer. Where you want to expect the volatility, and I don't want that, let's say reactions. I don't want volatility to be sort of a euphemism for a fall elsewhere. The markets that have run ahead the most will be vulnerable to the Wall Street leash effect if Wall Street continues to weaken in here. So that's a risk. It's a short-term risk. It's not a serious risk overall. I like the resources sector. People have got this one wrong. I have long maintained, the bears at any rate, have got this wrong. The strength of these industrial metals, the support building that we have been seeing recently in the precious metals and now leading to the silver lead strength that we're seeing, this is all very, very positive, positive stuff. So I really do like these sectors. Oil is really interesting now because I feel that the medium-term correction has reached its nadir down at $55 a barrel, and that the remaining debate is over the amount of sideways ranging and support building that we get in the sort of low to middle 60s, $60 region before this pushes steadily back up and eventually resumes its secular bull market. And I wouldn't be surprised if that happened at some stage next year. A safer forecast is to say that all precious metals will go through the earlier highs that they saw this year. They will go through those highs next year. Silver could actually do it this month. But that would be a, we shouldn't count on that. That would just be a pleasant surprise. But silver has the, when I look at the chart, and you come up with your own conclusion, and you know forecasts are a mug's game, but you know, I look at this, and I mean, silver has the look of a $20 price on it here. I do think it'll get there and a lot further eventually over the longer term. It's just a matter, though, of monitoring the charts and taking advantage of the opportunities as they arise and protecting positions when they're running strongly. You know all that, so don't need to review that. Okay, going on to the government bonds. This is interesting, both in terms of how they perform on their own, but particularly to me, particularly interesting to me is the well, are the possible implications from what we in terms in other markets. In other words, let me start over again on that. I'm not expressing that very clearly. So the the government bond markets are particularly interesting to me in terms of their potential influence over other markets. That's it. That's what I meant to say. Got it right this time. So the fact that yields are actually coming down, prices are very, bond prices are very firm, is a very favorable cushion for stock markets. And the risk, as I said before, I mentioned in the beginning, would be if the yields were pushing steadily higher. That would lead to a much more serious correction for stock markets. That's not going to happen here anytime soon, based on the action that we're seeing, judging from the action that we're seeing right now. The government bonds also will be watched very, very closely by the central banks. So they will become alarmed about inflationary pressures once again, and they're in the uncomfortable, somewhat uncomfortable position of seeing inflation higher than they would like it to be. But mind you, they created that inflation, as we all know, and central bankers are inflationists, but they obviously don't want inflation to be very much in the public consciousness. They don't want to see runaway inflation. They are in the business of managing inflation expectations, and it's a lot easier to manage inflationary expectations if those long-dated interest rates are not rising. But of course, gold is rising. Investors are voting accordingly, and quite understandably, particularly American investors who see their dollar purchasing power declining very, very rapidly, at least in terms of its overseas purchasing power. Taking a quick drink. Now, What about crude oil in here? Well, I've already mentioned that I think it's in the bottoming out process and will move higher. As that does move higher, it will become a headwind for stock markets. The two most serious headwinds for stock markets, what I've often referred to as the storm clouds out there on the horizon, will be rising bond yields. They're so far out on the horizon, they're invisible. And rising oil prices. Now, that is visible on the horizon. And I don't think there's any problem in the 60s, but in the 70s, people are going to start to worry about this again, and that will increasingly become a headwind. But I do not think that we will see any serious stock market correction until government bond yields are rising sharply and the crude oil price is hitting new highs. So that's not a threat at this stage, and we are still in a seasonally favorable period. And next year, the third year of the US presidential election cycle, is a seasonally favorable period. But we're seeing volatility increase relative to what we had seen in the two previous months. That's hardly a surprise. The extreme low level of volatility was an anomaly rather than the norm. But you don't have to look back very much further to see plenty of volatility. May, June, July, August, before we saw it drop right back again as stock markets pushed steadily higher. So overall, I think it's going to be a pretty bullish time for stock markets, but you don't want to be too overextended. You don't want to be overextended here in the short term. That's the main point. Government bonds, I think that they will provide short opportunities, but not in the short term, in all probability. I don't really fancy investing there. I think stock markets are much better. And as I say, I just watch these government bond prices and yields in terms of their implications for other markets. This US dollar, this is interesting, and I'm writing about it here tonight. I haven't completed that piece yet, but it is gathering pace. And the problem here is that the whole world knows that the US needs and wants a softer dollar. Now, the officials aren't going to say that, of course not, because they're in the business of managing expectations. But anybody who is familiar with this topic knows that the dollar fundamentals clearly call for some weakness. But what everyone would like, and what everyone knows would be quite a positive outcome, for the economies at any rate, not dollar holders, would be an orderly devaluation of the dollar. But markets don't oblige, because when an adjustment is a no-brainer and then is clearly taking place in the markets, then it tends to pick up bandwagon speed. And that's what we're actually seeing. Now you might say, well, this is acceleration. Therefore, it's unsustainable beyond the short term, and I would agree, but this is not the acceleration from a trend that has been gathering pace for months. The dollar has been falling for 7 weeks. The first five of those weeks were quite gradual and coming down from a range high. Now the dollar is picking up speed, but it's breakout speed that we're seeing, breakout from a large congestion area trading range. That's what we're seeing. And all those Forex traders, frustrated by the incredibly boring and treacherous sort of drifting, narrow ranging markets in which it's hard to make money, that they were seeing, now have clear trends, and they're not going to let go of those easily. And how will central banks control this dollar and prevent it from getting a massive overshoot on the downside? And it's the Europeans, of course, who are going to be most concerned about this, particularly the politicians, who are always told, of course, to do something. Well, I don't know. We'll have to see how this plays out, but I'll hazard a guess at this stage, and it's obviously no more than a guess. The smart way to handle it would be to let the dollar get technically well and truly overextended on the downside. Then, by prior arrangement, for the central banks to go in and suddenly start buying dollars and create a bear squeeze all those shorts. That's the intelligent way to do it. The dumb way to do it, and they've done both in the past, and they've used the dumb way more than the smart way. The dumb way to do it would be for them to draw a line in the sand at a particular level and then go in and try to defend it. Or they've gone in unilaterally, and that's not had much effect, and it's been a tentative move, and the traders look at it and back off for a while, but they're like circling wolves and come back in again fairly quickly. So the smart way for them to handle this, and what I suspect we will see, is that very rare event. I'll bet it hasn't happened more than 8 times, and possibly less, since the breakup of Bretton Woods back in 1970, is for the central banks to work together. I'm talking about the leading central banks, and for them to act multilaterally and go in and wait, as I say, until this dollar is clearly overextended. Where might that be? Well, I would say down around the 78 to 80 level on the US dollar index, and we're currently at 82.47. So that's let it go further, more shorts pile in, get very overextended, go in and squeeze those shorts, and that would cause a spike upwards, and the central banks could either hold on or ease out, but that's the strategy. And multilateral central bank intervention always works. It doesn't always mark the bottom or top of an overextended currency at the first effort, but it marks the beginning. Sometimes it does mark the absolute ending, but it has never failed to mark the beginning of a bottoming out process for a currency that's way overstretched, or the topping out process for a currency that's, again, equally overstretched on the upside. And this is for the dollar. We're talking really about the dollar's moves here. That's when we see it. An overextended dollar on the upside. We haven't seen much of that recently. We've got to go back a few years. Or an overextended dollar on the downside, which is what we will get. So I think that's how it will eventually play out. But meantime, this dollar is definitely on the skids, and a little bit of bleeding isn't going to check that. I don't want to have too many positions. One could certainly justify dollar short positions. That's been the case for a few weeks now. I don't want to have too many positions. I'm very content to play this through precious metals. The main reason I don't want to have too many positions is I can't monitor them all. Okay. Now, and again, when we do get central bank intervention, multilateral central bank intervention to support the dollar, I'd believe it. Most people all say, oh no, it's not going to work this time. And the people who say that most loudly are the people who are still short dollars, needless to say. And we will get the crowd of forex traders very heavily short dollars. Okay, what else to mention here? Industrial metals, they're going to remain generally firm overall, I think. The most vulnerable one technically is copper, but it hasn't broken down. Isn't that interesting? The others look like they're going to hit new highs. And again, those backwardations are telling us that this is not hedge fund activity here, although they'll get credited with it, whether they deserve it or not. But I think it's the old supply and elasticity meets rising demand premise. Okay, grains and beans, A sector consolidating right now, but global reserves are much reduced, and I think we will see further moves on the upside over the medium term. And I think that's about it. So, what an exciting week and a highly profitable one. I hope your portfolio is doing at least as well as mine. And so, have a fabulous weekend, and we'll look forward to more excitement and drama, and I trust some profits as well next week. All the best.